2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
What time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. Utah, USC. It's the Pac-12 championship game as the Utes look to punch their ticket to another Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Friday. Championship night for the Utah Utes, taking on the USC Trojans. Bit of breaking BYU news, though, shall we? Jay Catch, of course, always on top of all this stuff. While we're in the break, something was announced on social media about a BYU player that makes a significant impact right now. Mm-hmm. And kind of tells us exactly what we had all sort of thought about the transfer portal. So what do we have news-wise on this front here?
Well, the transfer portal is just, it hasn't even officially opened, and we're just seeing guys left and right. And I'm going to the transfer portal, by the way. I'm looking at my options. Well, BYU, their first, I guess, notable addition to the transfer portal outside of Dallin Holker, if you go back all the way back to midseason.
Sure.
But Jacob Conover, backup BYU quarterback, has announced that he will be entering his name in the NCAA transfer portal. In part, he says, these past 3 years have been some of the greatest times of my life. Mm. They've involved moments, memories, and relationships that will last a lifetime. I am so grateful for the love and support I received during my time here from my teammates, staff, and fans. But then the best part is, Scott Gerard's going to have a field day with this. With that being said, after much prayer and talking with my family, I'll be entering the transfer portal and starting a new chapter of my life. I am excited for what the future holds and ready to attack the new challenges ahead.
All right. So, hey, tighten up that chin strap, Cade Finnegan. You're the new starting quarterback of BYU. Sorry.
Well, here's the thing. Cade Finnegan has actually been dealing with a foot/ankle injury for the last little bit. So we're probably down to Solje Maiava-Peters or Nick Billups.
Let's be honest about where they're really down to. They're going into the transfer portal, and BYU, this has been their model, right? Uh-huh. I mean, they it's worked for them. Skill position guys.
They've done it with running backs mainly, but yeah.
Yeah, but skill position guys coming out of the transfer portal, and they haven't had to dip in the transfer portal for a quarterback between Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall over the past 4 years. So now it's pretty clear that with Jacob Conover leaving, one, everybody thought that they were going to dip into the transfer portal anyway. Mm-hmm. Jacob Conover sees the writing on the wall. Where do you think he ends up? Because he had a ton of offers. This is a four-star guy that did not work out for BYU.
Yeah, I'm not going to be surprised if he goes close to home and might be playing. As PK likes to say.
Was he a Mountain View Bruin down there?
He was not. He was a Chandler. Are they the Wolves? Whatever they are. Mm-hmm. He won three state titles as a starting quarterback in high school. Well, his head coach at the high school level, Sean Iguana, was the interim head coach this year after Herm Edwards got whacked down there in the desert. And as PK is fond of saying, I could very easily see Jacob Conover, quote, getting silly with Dilly. That's PK's new term for Kenny Dillingham, the new head coach.
He loves his Sun Devils, doesn't
he? Oh, he does. So, but don't be surprised.
He loves and hates his Sun Devils.
Number 17, Jacob Conover, would not be surprising to see him, quote-unquote, getting silly with Dilly down there in Tempe.
Well, there you go. I mean, so Jacob Conover going into the transfer portal is a massive bit of news. That means you're not even going to the bowl game, right? Like, it's not like, hey, after this next game, this is like.
And the thing, the way he wrote this is I will be entering the transfer portal and starting a new chapter of my life.
Yeah.
That's not like the door. He's not like, the door's still open for me to return.
There's no such thing as a guy announcing he's going to go to the transfer portal and then saying, after the bowl game, of course, I'll be there. It's like, nah.
I'm going to reevaluate. No, yeah. It's.
And the grumpiness level, like the pissed off level that these guys have, it varies.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a. You know, of a grudge he may or may not be holding against BYU if these were indeed some of the best moments of his life. The reality is just the writing is on the wall that he probably would be, they'd be looking for a number one while they would try to keep him number two.
Yeah.
That writing is on the wall. Everybody knew that.
Well, and the other thing about this, Alex, you and I did the pre- and post-game shows all year long.
We're like, everybody's like, please don't throw that football, Jacob.
When is Conover going to get an opportunity? And, like, you would think, okay, Liberty, they're getting absolutely obliterated in that second half out there in Lynchburg. Wouldn't you think in a blowout-type scenario, you'd insert him to just have cleanup time? Nope, they rode Jaren Hall to the death of that game. So, there's so much if you were reading between the lines, it sure seemed like this was very much in play. And then here
wild
we go.
Stuff.
Scott Gerard, a hashtag that being said from
he did
BYU.
It. He did
the tweet
it.
Came through. Scotty got it.
I thought he said he was quitting this soon.
No, he's not quitting anytime
when it hits
soon.
Home. When it hits home like this, you've got to do it.
Oh, no, Scott's not giving this up. He absolutely
is. I just like imagine him, like the filters on Twitter are just like, send me everything that says with that being said. Because he's getting not just the with that being said about football stuff, it's about everything. Anything. Some guy quits a band, with that being said.
Yeah.
He's getting all those updates via Twitter. All right. So there you go. There's the update. Jacob Conover hits the transfer portal, no longer living the dream at BYU. Another four-star guy who didn't work out for another four-star quarterback for BYU that just didn't work out. I think everybody saw that. I mean, he handed the ball off the entire rest of the way against Stanford, right? And threw that one pass, and everyone went, ooh. Like, it was one pass, and it was not good.
Yep.
The Jacob Conover era is not going to be looked upon fondly because you didn't see him. The team never – the drop-off from Jaren Hall to Jacob Conover was always huge. It never got better, and so I think that's the part where people look and go, all right, well, that's why everybody's going to be moving on here. And when it was the bye week, Jake, and they had to have tough conversations with these players, you're going to start seeing some of these guys who had those tough conversations with their coaches, and this is coming out over the next few weeks, this was likely one of them.
Well, and that's the thing about this is I've been talking with enough folks, hearing enough rumors, all that stuff out there when it comes to BYU. The BYU is not going to be immune. They've been very much immune in the first early goings of the transfer portal of not losing a bunch of guys, but also bringing some guys in. This year, this offseason in particular, Alex, don't be surprised if 30, 40 new names are on BYU's roster going into next season. There is going to be a mass, and I mean mass roster turnover for the Cougars, it feels like. And this is just the start.
Oh, for sure. All right, there you go. There's some breaking news. I always love that. Anytime something breaks, we'll fix it.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Jeremy, let's get to some of that conversation we had with Devin Cafusi this week. This is specific about this game against USC. I asked him a question right off the bat here about just the difference between these two games and this USC team now.
But how different are they now that you're playing them at a neutral site? And they've had a couple of weeks under their belt. They're certainly coming into this thing going, there was one team who beat us by one freaking point this year. Their playoff hopes are on the line in this game. They're not playing at your place. And so what challenge does USC pose for you guys as a defense and for the team overall this weekend in Las Vegas?
Oh, huge. You know, end of the season, everyone's beat up, you know, on our side and USC side. Definitely, like I said, huge going into a neutral site. But, you know, I'm happy, you know, it's Vegas and the Ute Nation, you know, the Utah fans love traveling to Vegas, especially for this game. So it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. defensively, I think we've got, you know, I know we've gotten a lot better, you know, the past five games. Our defense is locked in, so I'm excited to see, you know, how everyone steps up and plays, head into practice today and stuff, and, you know, following the game plan. You know, credit to Coach Scally. Yesterday we went over, you know, the final standings, and our defense, you know, topped out in really all categories for the Pac-12. And so, yeah, just having that confidence of where we are and, you know, heading into this week against, you know, Heisman hopeful Caleb and you know, a high-powered USC offense, it's going to be a showdown for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's must-see TV. It really is. And there's no plane flights. They're all sold out. I know. There's hardly any rooms.
Vegas is all, yeah. We have the rooms. You're going to have to pay, though.
Yeah, you're going to. So it's really exciting. It was good to see Cam Rising have a really sharp game this week. And, you know, for whatever reason, it just really struggled at Oregon. And I'm not sure he was completely healthy. But he appeared to be healthy. And it was good that he got some work, but he also got some rest. How valuable was that for him? But also, how valuable was it for you guys on a short week to really kind of, you know, the ones got a nice, you know, maybe a reprieve where they didn't have to play in the second half?
Yeah. Oh, it's huge, you know, because as the season goes on, you build off each week, you know, physically, mentally. And so, you know, kind of like a bye week we talk about, kind of, you know, having a down week could be even harder coming back into the rhythm and stuff. Yep. But, you know, I think the mindset of the guys was, hey, we don't know what's going to end up this weekend, who's going to win and lose, but, you know, if it comes down to it, let's be at our best. And so let's come out here and, you know, execute the game plan and do what we need to do to win. And, you know, it just worked out great for us out there in Colorado leading up to this championship game.
Devin Cafusio is always joining us here on Unrivaled on our Players Club as Utes get ready for bonus football. How much does last year's game, like, what does that give you guys as an advantage, or is it even an advantage over USC going into this one? It's the same freaking building you guys clinched last year. It's there certainly won't be the same ratio probably of Oregon and Utah fans. I think you'll see USC show up maybe in a little bit more, but I do wonder that if you guys have that edge to be able to be like, well, we know what it feels like to be here. We know what it feels like to win the championship in this building.
Yeah, no, really, for sure. Yeah, for sure. You know, going down there in Vegas, I think just all the guys know how the highlight, you know, and really the highlight in a lot of guys' lives was winning that championship last year. And when we think back on that and, you know, all the fun and having that satisfaction and accomplishment, it just lights the fire in the guys and, you know, in everyone's heart saying, hey, the Pac-12 championship is too fun. You know, it's too much fun to go down to Vegas and to win. So, whatever it takes, like, you know, just remember that. And it's been nice having that, you know, it's kind of that thought store back there and just remembering that experience to help us, you know, get up and focus and do what we need to do to, you know, have that same experience.
Interesting game. It just is a totally different thing. And yet they've been exactly in this spot too at the same time. Right.
Yeah.
This game is, yeah, I think everybody, I mean, this is why you have to play these games, because you see how this thing has been lined up this week, and it's not the highly anticipated matchup, you know, that a lot of these other college football, you know, these championship games over tomorrow could have a lot more of an impact.
Sure.
But, man, I'll tell you, no one wants to give Utah a shot because no one likes to talk about Utah versus talking about USC. Unless you're talking about us. Unless you're talking about our market.
Hold on. Who are you? Are you Paul Feigenbaum over here? Nobody likes Utah.
No, I'm not saying Utah. What I'm saying is that outside of us, here in the state of Utah.
You're right. No, you give a very good point.
Everybody goes, I don't know anything about Utah, man. That's the vibe they do, right? I just don't know anything about them, right? They might know who Cam Rising is, or they might put a highlight up and say, boy, if Tavian Thomas is running really well against this USC team this weekend, like if that like that's a perfect picture of how this game is being treated.
Oh, yeah. No, and you're
is people going, and it's not a it's certainly not a disrespect thing to Utah as much as it is just that people love when USC does well. Even though these guys are the biggest freaking villains on the planet right now. They're walking away from the conference. They did it in the dead of the night, and everybody is still intrigued somehow by this freaking USC team.
The thing is, there are programs that have their own, I guess, gravitational pull out there in college football. Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Miami when it was good 2 decades ago. Like those teams that they operate in their own universe, Alex. USC has been, is right now, and always will be one of those teams that when they are good, they stand alone. And I know you're right. You're right. They are like the consummate villain right now, because you're right. They left in the middle of the night. They lied to everybody's face about being committed to the conference, even though they were stalling for time to take that deal from the Big Ten in the meantime. They are the villain, but at the same time, when they are operating at peak capacity, there is nothing like the USC Trojans.
Oh, so you don't believe in Utah then, do you, Jake? Is that what you're saying? No,
I actually
I'm
do.
I was turning the table. We know what Utah can do.
Yeah.
We know that it hasn't been. What's wild about this is that this USC team is the sexy sell all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Utah's not. What's been good though about this team is over the last couple of years, their offense has been kind of exciting, right? I mean, you talk about putting up points, seeing this team have, a type of an effect on these games offensively that, you know, the first time around, Andy Ludwig was not known for.
No.
And so that's where I think that a game like this tonight's going to make a bigger difference.
And getting to Scott's point when he first joined us on the show to kick off the show today, he talked about the fact Andy Ludwig's got to open things up tonight. And it really feels that way. This has got to be one of those games that Kalani Sitake talks about, other coaches mentioned, empty the tank. Whatever trick plays, whatever gadgets you got, whatever you think can be effective against USC in this game that you feel like can get you over the top, you go for it.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. Finalize some things here before we get you ready for the Ute pregame show. Hans and Christian Cox standing by down in Las Vegas to get that thing going. So we'll come back, wrap things up, and then we'll pass that off to them down in Sin City. More to go around the corner, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.